Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined only by Harv this week. Bronel, unfortunately, has taken his talents to Montreal this week for a Blue Jays exhibition game. He's also a Habs fan, so a Canadiens game. He'll be back next week to join us. But yeah, have fun, Bronel. In this episode, we are going to talk to Anna Young, Saskatchewan's own Anna Young. Really excited for this interview. She is a professional golfer living in Florida from Saskatchewan. Awesome to have her on. As always, we're going to recap the Valspar Championship won by Paul Casey. We're going to get into In the News, the WGC Dell Technologies match play preview. In honor of that, Harv has put together, we talk about trophies all the time here.
We do.
Harv has put together his 32 best trophies bracket.
Yep.
So we're going to break all of those down.
March Madness style.
Going to break all that down. Then, of course, there's a little tournament called the Punta Cana Corrales tournament.
That's right.
So we got to get into that as well. Tons of stuff for you. Again, Anna Young coming up too. Before we get into it, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. News for everyone. The discount, Drive the Green promo code, 30% off. 30. Can't make this stuff up.
That's twice as much.
That is twice as much as it was before. Practice all the orders coming in, they said, you know what? We're going to give you guys 30% off. PLYRGolf.com. Fun fact and tie-in, Anna Young, also represented by Player Golf.
That is fun.
Yeah, very fun. So, yeah, like I said, big episode. Hope everyone sticks around for all of that stuff. Before we get into it, though, the boys, before Bronel left, we had the opportunity this week to have our baseball draft at the fine confines of Emma Lake, Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Cabin. It was 15 degrees. Snow was melting. The boys got a chance to break out the clubs, Harv, and fire, I don't know, 100 balls into the lake?
Easily 100.
Feels so good to swing outside.
Well, yeah, because what we would have hit, there was 36 plus another, there's probably, more than 100 now that I think about it.
Plus the ice was still frozen.
Plus when we got them.
Yeah, so when we say we hit these balls out of the lake, it was frozen still up here, folks. And so we went and collected some.
Yeah.
Managed to find some. There's snow on the ice still. Balls stuck in there pretty good. So yeah, we had that. We're both a little bit on the mend from the weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
Bronel's still going in Montreal.
I mean, I was back on the piss for 3 days, but update, I'm off the piss one day.
Reset the clock. Two days.
Off the piss.
Yeah. But this setup we had was unbelievable. We had March Madness on a TV. We had golf on a TV. We had video games on a TV. We had more video games on another TV.
WHL playoffs
on the computer. Everything. So it was an epic draft. Happy to get back on the horse here. Congrats to Paul Casey. So Valspar back-to-back Paul Casey championships.
Yeah, after he stunk last week.
Yeah.
When Bronel picked him.
Bronel decided to throw up Paul Casey's last four tournaments in there. What is it? T12, T4, cut, win. Guess which week Bronel had him.
Yeah, and he's in Montreal, so it's safe to say he picks teams to cheer for like he picks golfers to bet on. Habs, Jays, I mean, we could throw the Steelers in there if we wanted to.
Yeah.
They all stink.
All stink. So, Bronel, I hope you're having fun because if you're not here to defend yourself, the boys are going to take liberties on...
Absolutely. Don't miss a pot.
Don't miss a pot. I've yet to miss one.
I've done it, and I got raked over the coals, so yeah. Payback time.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Casey. With the win here, he becomes the leading career earnings guy at the Valspar. He's won more money there than anyone else has, which is pretty impressive considering he's 40? Over 40.
Yeah. He's the Charles Howell of the Valspar.
Yeah.
Guy just goes in it every year and wins money.
Yeah, which is impressive because, I mean, we might as well get into it right now. Like, they've been talking how hard this course was, And it was actually hard for a change.
Yeah.
Like, they talked about the bear trap a few ago. They talked about the three wet holes last week.
Three wet holes, yeah, it's coming back.
And but guys just feasted on them. Not this week.
Not this week. It's refreshing to see single-digit scores for the first time in a while from a winner. And not only that, fun fact, Paul Casey played the par fives in 15 under.
Whew.
And his final score was 8 under.
Yeah.
Played the rest of the holes in 7 over. Like, that's crazy. But the snake pit, like, yeah, you talk about the bear trap to the snake pit. Snake pit was eating guys up.
Like, do you want to talk about Sergio?
Yeah, we could talk about Sergio right away. I had him in picks. I was getting close to Har. We'll get into picks later. But had Sergio, was riding that high. Guy had an unbelievable round going, final round. Quintuple. A 9.
The one known as the moccasin.
The moccasin, snake. Yeah. 16.
16. Water up the left, trees up the right, or is the other way around? Anyways, he put 2 in the water.
2 in the water. And 3 water putting. On the right.
And
water
3 right. Putted.
Yeah.
That's not going
to be. First one in the water, time. And then he got to obviously drop, I don't know, 100 yards closer where it kind of entered the water, then hit the next one in the water. And then decided after that, okay, now I'm going to lay up, put it on the green, and then 3 putted.
Woof.
Woof.
That is something.
Yeah, so, I mean, nice to see guys getting a little bit stung by it. I mean, we're going to get into the dude wipes, you shat yourself segment, yep. But we might as well just insert it right now because DJ takes the cake this week. Because he, for the first time, how many rounds in a row did he have in the 60s?
14 rounds in a row in the 60s.
Yeah. Completely blown out of the water by his first over par round in, obviously, 14.
14.
Well, not necessarily, because he could have shot in the 70s. But
that's true.
For the first time in a while, he shot over par. 3 over in the final group.
Yeah. Just
out of nowhere, too.
And even Casey afterwards, just he was awfully polite about it, saying DJ had a tough time, but he was still being a pro about it. And
yep.
Like, yeah, because you got to think that's someone else that can derail the other guy you're playing with too. See Rom and Fleetwood last week.
Yeah, you can feed off each other being good, and you can also feed off each other being bad.
Absolutely.
And so, good on Paul Casey to weather the DJ shitstorm and take victory. Another notable finish this week was Sung J Im. This kid is 20 years old.
I didn't realize he was that young.
20 years old. He's moved up to 59th in the world. He has 4 top 10s this year. And he led wire to wire last year on the web.com money list. He's the player of the year. So everyone's like, okay, is this kid good? He's only 20. Well, he's all of that so far this year. So,
and you picked him last week when he missed the cut.
Yep, I did.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Another young kid.
Yeah, Ashke Bhatia, 17 years old. Missed the cut. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are good. It's the slogan.
Yeah.
He came in.
Was not ready.
Exactly. That sums it up perfectly. Was not ready. Came in full of piss and vinegar. Played practice round with John Rahm. John Rahm kind of gave him a bit of the gears, and I mean, you can say good on him for giving him right back.
Yep.
I don't feel that way. I feel like you got to pay your dues, and mm-hmm. it's still a pay your dues type feel to me, at least. And I mean, it bit him. Plus 3, missed cut.
Yep.
Left-handed, lanky kid. We'll see if he turns into something.
We'll see the next time we see his name come up.
Exactly. There's been, I don't know, a handful, 10 young kids that are supposed to be studs that just never pan out, like Ty Trine. You ever heard of that guy?
Yep.
Yeah. Not often. Exactly. Not lately. Yeah,
I guess I can't. I could say yes, I have, but it would have been better if I said who.
Yeah, exactly. But 10 years ago, you heard of him when he was like 16 years old and supposed to be the next Tiger Woods. But
yep.
Yeah, didn't happen.
Another guy that could be lumped in there is Matthew Wolff with his crazy swing.
We'll see what happens if he comes back.
He burst on the scene there a little while ago. Let's see if he comes back.
I mean, he is still dominating the NCAA. He's won like 5 tournaments.
Yeah,
but
still good.
We'll see. I mean, John Rahm, another good finish.
Yeah, he's putting it all together. Another T6. But you got to think, we'll see. We'll see when we get into picks if someone's silly enough to take him again this week, because He's played a lot of golf recently. Going in the match play, could be up to six rounds.
You think seven that rounds. Big frame can handle that?
I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, that's a heavy load to be fueling up and taking out of the course
every week. Walking around for six rounds, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just looking at this board, though, another guy that sticks out, Lucas Glover. The guy has 9 top 25s and 11 starts this year. His only non-top 25s were missed cuts, including the players.
You got it. I think we got to say it. He's officially, he's not in the top tier.
Yeah.
But he's second, maybe bottom of the second tier now. Like, yeah. He is good this year.
He's well, nine top 25s and 11 starts. I think he's kind of finally put away the fear, and now he can just kind of focus. Maybe, you know, maybe he's getting some rest.
Well, I mean, he's got to have his card up. Like, he's got to have enough money that he's in for next year.
Pretty much. With nine top 25s, you're almost guaranteed. So now we can...
Check how much money he's won.
Okay. So you kind of, okay, now I get to sleep in my own bed, not sleeping in the garage. I get to, you know, just enjoy life a little bit. And boy, is it paying off for him, because, like you say, he looks like the Lucas of old.
Yeah, the major winner.
Yeah, up to 82nd in the world.
82nd in the world.
82nd in the world, and he's made $1.4 million.
Oh, yeah, he's...
Easily. 23rd.
Yeah, he ain't falling out of that.
Yeah, so...
He's there next year.
Waste management and the players are his only missed cuts this year. He's there.
Who else we got on this list here? Bubba Watson, low round on Sunday, yeah. Which I heard that, and I'm like, oh, he must have shot super low. It was 3 under.
3 under, yeah.
3 under. That was the lowest round of the day.
Yeah, low round of the day. So just to give people an idea of, you know, how difficult that course was playing. But those are for the guys that made the cut. So we got some notable missed cuts, including Patrick Reed, who I think shot 80 in one of his rounds.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, not pretty. Webb missed the cut. Jason Day missed the cut. Gary Woodland missed the cut.
Yeah, he hasn't been great since his caddy's been on our podcast. Yeah. So
Brandon Little joined the pod. Gary, he hasn't been bad, hasn't been great. So hopefully we didn't jinx him. Maybe the only way to counteract what potential jinx is there is to have Gary come on.
That's what I was going to say. And then the player comes on, they get a bump. If the caddy comes on, opposite effect.
So we talked about getting more caddies on, but I think we need to strategically pick which guy we want to start to falter and then ask his caddy if he wants to join us.
Yeah.
Canadian roundup, Mac Hughes, friend of the pod, solo 13th.
I think it was tied for 13th.
Tied for 13th?
But yeah, quietly.
Quiet. Kind of came out of nowhere. Nick Taylor, steady as she goes, Nick.
He was up there.
Yeah, he was up there. He had a bit of a stutter. Mac Hughes was T13.
Yeah.
Nick Taylor, T24, after a 75, 4 over 75 on Sunday. And then, not to be outdone, another friend of the pod, our boy Roger Sloan, 6 over on Sunday.
Started hot this week, though.
Yeah, for a T60. So, we have those two guys. And
then a bunch of missed cuts.
Along with Mac Hughes. And then Silverman and Hadwin both missed a cut on the number. Svensson and Hearn, not the greatest. And Austin Connolly,
dead last.
Might have been dead last, but...
Dead last, plus 14.
We've seen might have been. It's,
oh, that's, like, so it doesn't, like, so it doesn't, like, sound, it as
could
bad?
Be, could
oh,
be, okay. Yeah, but it might not actually be. Yeah, and then just as I'm scrolling through here, Jim Furyk, T18.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
48 years old.
I wonder what's going to happen when he gets onto the Champions Tour. There's a lot of guys... just gearing up for that.
Well, yeah, because when you think about it, like, the Champions Tour, it seemed like maybe Furyk never plays on the Champions Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't He's have going to. I mean, Hall of Famer, doesn't really have to. But if he does, that guy's going to rake.
Yeah. He's, there's him, Veej, Big Easy. Like, those guys.
Phil Mickelson?
Phil.
Like, these guys, there's a bunch of guys getting right around 50 that, if they decide to play, I mean, Phil probably never will. Like, he'll just probably play his PGA events, and that'll be it for him.
Yep.
But, yeah, and Furyk could be the same, but if they don't, like, that tour can get pretty intense here.
There's going to be some battles. So, before we get into in the news, we got to get into our shots of the week. I already talked about the dude wipes. You shot yourself of the week this week.
Yeah, DJ on Sunday.
My shot of the week is going to be Jason Kokrak's ace. Okay. He had an ace, so welcome to the club. Also ties into aces. Yeah. Bronel's not here to do birthdays this week, so unfortunately we're not going to do birthdays. He didn't send them in. Like I said, he mailed it in, had a rough weekend. He's in Montreal. He doesn't care about us.
No, not
He's not here. Who cares? I don't care.
verbal meme.
Yeah, so my shot of the week's Kokrak.
Okay, I'm just putting words in Bronel's mouth. His shot of the week is Russell Knox Albatross.
Oh, yeah.
Because he cares about those more.
Yeah.
My shot of the week is actually probably a hole of the week, and it's DJ. When he made birdie after hitting it out of the trees, into the trees again, chipping it on, then making a bomb for birdie. Like, people were thinking bogey. Nope, birdie. Nope,
birdie.
So that's my shot of the week.
That's a good one, yeah. Oh, I did notice here you actually did do aces.
Yep,
sorry for saying that Bronel didn't do. Bronel well, didn't do birthdays. Yeah. So we have the Kokrak ace, the Russell Knox Albatross. Not an ace, but I would like to welcome to the club George W. Bush, who had an ace this week
at what 70?
Yeah,
something
old.
Old guy.
Old guy.
Yeah.
Old guy got an ace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Welcome to the club, W. Welcome to the club, Kokrak. It's definitely not Kokrak. So,
yeah, we gotta get the pronunciation right. But
subtle page flip. For maybe in the news on the audio.
In the news, let's start off with Tiger Woods practice round today. Just nothing.
He's not even trying to hide it anymore.
Yeah, that was just straight up
kicked the ball. I mean, it's a practice round. He's wearing shorts. Who cares? But he, guy's used to this. People do this all the time for him. He just happened to have a camera following him, kick it out. He probably told that spectator, hey, if ever you see my ball right here, do what I just did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're going to follow me around this week, yeah, you know what to do.
Anytime you see my ball in the trees, punt it just a little bit. Give me an angle.
Yeah.
Maybe even place it a little bit closer to the tree where I can still get a shot off, but it'll make it look hard. Just as long as that guy stops doing helicopter swings.
Yeah, can't risk hurting himself. Yeah,
so
I'm starting to think that every player gets a foot wedge from the fans.
There's a lot of them.
Like, there's too many times that they just have a clear shot.
But at the same time, if the holes are populated enough, they're going to get bounces off people. Just think of the players when it showed Fleetwood on, like, three times in an 18 because he was in the final round. He hit three spectators in one round.
Yeah.
These guys are hitting spectators all the time, but not all of them are televised.
That's true.
Just people leaving with welts.
Yeah.
So.
And a story.
And in some cases signed.
Gloves.
Memorabilia.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
You know what would be cool if a guy rather than, because everyone signs gloves, if there was a guy out there that had like some sort of unique take on that, if I hit someone, I'm giving them Jimmy Ray signed CD or something like that. Or
Idea segment. We
cool,
come up with something.
Cool ideas to hand out when you hit someone.
Whether it's like you just keep like six like bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Of yourself in your bag.
Sign across the bobblehead forehead.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like a bobblehead, like a glove is whatever, but like something you could actually display. Like you get a glove.
Yep.
Yeah, you maybe have it somewhere, but you had like a bobblehead and be like,
yeah,
that's going on my work desk. That's going.
Yeah, we could take this into interviews too. How many people on average do you hit around a weekend?
Yep.
Or a week. In four rounds, how many people do you hit? I bet you the over-under is 1.5. Everyone on tour hits 2 people a week.
Yeah, you can just ask them how many times they've hit a player or hit a fan.
Hit a fan, lots.
And then we asked them,
do
you think it's a good idea to have something in your bag to give them
yeah.
instead of just a glove? Like, that's you're not carrying the bag.
Yeah. I'd rather the guy give me a half-eaten granola bar than a signed glove.
Half-eaten granola.
But, yeah, just like something. Anything that they could. There's got to be a twist to that. Maybe guys are already doing it. I have no idea.
Yeah. Or even, yeah, like, just stuff something in your bag. They get so much free stuff.
Yeah.
Like it could be like a cool like divot tool.
Yeah. Drive the Green t-shirts.
Ooh.
Sign them. Send them. It's match play week. Another piece in the news. Bubba doesn't like the match play. He won it last year.
That was odd. But he does make a good point. Like he was saying the reason he doesn't like it is because it doesn't necessarily reward the guy who plays the best golf that week. Because you could shoot 62 and happen to lose if you're just birding the same holes the other guy does and then tripling your other hole or whatever. But like you can, and then the guy can shoot like 72 and win. Just depends on who you play and how they play that round.
I mean, I get it, but at the same time, like it's just the unique style of it.
Yep.
Makes it super cool.
Oh yeah. This is one of my favorite tournaments.
Yeah. He may not like it, but fans like it. And I actually do think he does like it. He just doesn't like the concept of being able to shoot a poor round and still get away with it. So, in general, I would like to know at the end of it what their score relative to par would have been for the week or something like that. But with gimmies and
they don't finish hole, they don't finish all the holes.
Kind of tough there.
But I liked it better when it was just straight bracket.
Yeah, like this pool thing. I get it because obviously they want to have the guys committed and the fans committed to, you know, a few rounds to get to see everyone. But at the same time, it's a WGC event, so the guys are getting paid either way. There's only 64 people in it.
Yep.
So, I mean, just anything to... It's all about the fans, really.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, I get it, but yeah, I like the straight bracket.
Another piece of news, I mentioned him earlier about the Big Easy. He has now 300 top 10s.
Yeah, and that is insane, considering when you look at the next closest guy has... I'm just pulling it up. Oh, wrong group. The next closest guy has...
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Gonna have to ring the bell on you.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Vijay Singh's the next closest, which what looks like 275.
Okay.
25 less.
And then a steep drop-off, or...?
Yeah, then you're down to about 230. Tiger's right around 225. Montgomery. So, all the guys you think. Montgomery, Mickelson, Westwood. Ooh, Retief, Goosen. Bernhard Langer. I'm wondering if that counts champions.
All his Champions Tour victories.
I mean, you got to think it does.
I think it's top 10 in sanctioned tournaments.
So would that count then?
Yeah, I think so.
And then Jim Furyk right around 200 as well.
Yeah. Great job by the guy who put that chart together too, spelling Furyk with a I instead of a Y.
Yeah, it made me question it a little bit, but
so we don't do a whole lot of fact checking around these parts, so we're gonna take that guy's word for it. Spelling error included.
Yeah, I thought this was a good one considering Anna Young's on the pod. Yep. Nelly Korda, with her whatever, she's in every tournament she's played this year. She's been top 10. She became the highest ranked woman, USA born woman, on the official world golf rankings for women.
Right now.
Past Lexi Thompson, I think she's sixth. There's five, how do you want to say it? Asian women ahead of them.
Yep.
Trying to be politically correct there.
Yep. I think you nailed it.
And Brooke Henderson, Canadian, is 11th on that list.
She'll be moving up. She's got to get healthy.
Yeah, she finished tied for 8th this week in their tournament.
Yeah, so transitioning off of Brooke getting healthy to some other news. Robert Garrigus?
Yes.
On the dope.
Yes.
On the weed.
Back on the weed. Suspended
3 months. Owned it. Said, yep. It was weed.
I mean,
he... Kind of weak. Like... Who cares?
Yeah, because I think he lives in a state where it's legal, maybe.
Yeah,
but it's not.
Who cares if he doesn't? Especially if he's in a state that it's legal.
Well, my thing is
maybe he's just hanging out.
My thing is maybe the PGA stepped in and suspended him because he is a recovering addict.
Okay,
so maybe they just put this in here in case he just. Slippery slope type thing. And kept playing well and kept reinforcing that lifestyle, and then who knows where it goes, right? Like,
Yep.
That's a disease. I don't know.
Maybe just a check.
Yeah.
Reality check for the guy.
Just kind of like...
Hey, pump the brakes here, bro.
Kind of like the not suspension for DJ a couple years ago, where he was kind of politely told to maybe take some time
maybe
off.
Maybe take some time
and
off,
get his life back on track.
Yeah. Booger sugar. So, speaking of... We mention aces every week. Maybe something I might have to do to one of you guys here soon, because you're not getting a hole in one on your own. But the Oklahoma men's golf team pulled a prank on one of their teammates with the hole in one prank. The classic
rookie teammate.
Yeah, celebrate. Think the guy got the hole in one and go.
Guy
up there,
goes so. Crazy and then goes up there and it's not in. Man, I would hate you. I would hate. Like, we might not be friends after that.
Yeah. Do you think that that's like a actually like a team building? It'd be team building for everyone but him.
Yeah,
he would secretly hate those guys for a while, I guess, until the next time he gets to do it. But I would think that once you do that, you have to save that for a good time, because once you do it once, it's like a known thing.
Yeah,
you can't do it to anyone else.
No, you gotta, that's gotta, you gotta pick your spots on that one, because at the same, like, I thought the easiest way to do it, right, is like you're playing and the group ahead of you is at the green, but mm-hmm. I don't think that was the case. I think they were all in the tee box.
Yeah, they were,
they all went nuts. So
He just assumed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, if you had like, if you were playing like one group in front, one behind, and then hit on a par three, like a blind one, and then the group on the green went nuts.
Yeah. Or
that'd
even
be
just
the way
off
to pull
the
it
side.
Off.
Yeah. Like on our home course, you could easily do that on five.
Mm-hmm.
Just the guys rolling, just have a cart staying in front.
Yeah.
And then all the guys just like either rip around and turn back, or just they're standing at their cart and you guys hit and then go nuts. Oh, it'd be great.
It's a heck of a prank. I mean, if you pull that off, like, not
we
only
be friends
like,
off.
Yeah.
Oh wow, this is quite the list for in the news though. We got tons of shit here.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about Bryn Todd?
Well, I mean, he just called, what do you call Bryson, a nut?
Yeah, he called him a nut. Called him, said,
no, don't one, believe any of this stuff.
Yeah, no one cares about that stuff. It's just some nut doing it. Talk about the
it's working
thousands of golfers who win not doing that instead. Like, don't buy into one guy being a nut.
I mean, it is. I would love to see the sample size get a little bit larger before we start crowning Bryson as a trailblazer. Like, I mean, he is. But how many? You need to have a few more, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one guy that's really good at it.
And we
how many more are out there? I mean, there could be.
But we talked about this before, that it's not just cutting all your clubs the same length. Like, there's a big chunk of time and resources and everything invested to make them the same weight, all the same length, all the same lie, so it's the same swing. And I just think no one wants to do that.
Yeah, well, and you've turned yourself into a robot.
Yes.
Like, he's a swing machine.
Yep.
It's a robot swing machine. But at the same time, I would like to see someone else or multiple other people doing it to prove that it works.
Yeah.
Because one guy perfecting it doesn't necessarily mean that it works. That's just me. It's not a big enough sample size for me. It's just one really talented guy.
Like, I just want to see one more guy do it.
Yeah, he's a nut. Yeah. I'll call him that. A turd.
Yeah, but he's pretty cool.
He's kind of cool.
I like him.
Last couple things on here. Mike Weir was named vice captain for the President's Cup team. Congratulations, Mike. Yeah. Got you in for a piece of good news. Didn't even have to bring up you in any other way. I mean, he was in the web event this week.
And didn't do so hot.
Didn't do so hot. Willie Wilcox, last week's guest, T60. He was up there early.
Yep.
Then just kind of, it was a web tournament. Those guys are putting up minus, 20. 20 under par. I think he was minus 5.
Okay.
So.
I believe you.
Last two pieces of notes. Austin Johnson, DJ's caddy / brother. Those guys are allergic to stairs. Yeah. Fell down the stairs.
Take
broke
the
his,
elevator.
Broke his
you guys stay in hotels, guys, and take the elevator.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Tough luck
stairs
for him.
Stairs 2, Johnson brothers 0.
And he had to carry the bag all week.
With a broken arm.
Yep.
Which wouldn't be the end of the world.
Yeah, and last segue into bags. Thomas Peters' bag is for sale to sponsors.
Yep, has a for sale sign or your ad here or whatever on his bag, which is pretty funny.
Yep.
But I don't know how many sponsors want to sponsor that guy when he's breaking clubs all the time.
That he had a good one this week. Like the full on the backs, like the recoil threw it straight into the ground.
Oh, man.
It was fantastic.
That reminded me, did you see that video? It was like some like coach showing like a guy how to stretch.
And he's no,
like,
I
the
did
best
not.
Stretch, he's like, you take your club and you put it over your knee and you pull up, and he just like kind of, he was like ghosting it, and then the guy just like pulled and just snapped his club on over his knee. I don't know if it was set up, but it was pretty funny how the guy was like explaining, like, it works your core, it stretches out your back, so you just kind of put your knee up on the shaft of your club and you pull towards your chest,
and he snapped
his
own club.
And then he was just kind of like faking it, and then that guy just snapped his club over his leg.
Fun story before we get into the Anna Young interview. I actually got stitches off a broken golf club when I was a kid. Fun fact. It was just, I broke a golf club, or my brother did, and I just was laying around our house. It was to be thrown in the garbage, and we were dicking around, and I ran by it and gashed my leg on the broken club.
Wow.
First set of stitches I ever got. Five of them, I think. And with that, we're into the Anna Young interview. This interview is brought to you by Eagle Energy. Use the promo code DTG20 for 20% off your caffeine inhalers. Anna Young from Saskatchewan. She has a great story. We chatted with her for quite a while. We hope everyone enjoys it. We'll be back after to recap the interview. And as I mentioned before, Harv has put together a bracket-style tournament with all of the trophies on the PGA Tour. And then we'll get into the preview of the WGC Dell Technologies match play and our pick segment. I hope everyone enjoys the Anna Young interview, and we'll be back shortly. Matty B and Harv here with Drive the Green. And today on the show, we have five-time women's Saskatchewan amateur champion, fellow player rep, Anna Young, joining us, the pride of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Anna, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
We're good, yeah.
Yeah, glad to have a fellow Saskatchewan Awanianian.
Yeah,
what are we called?
I don't know. Yeah,
something?
Maybe. Someone from Saskatchewan. for those that aren't aware of yourself, I can't give your road to the tour enough credit. So I'd love for you to kind of give us to give us a little bit of the Cliff's Notes version from your travels all the way from Saskatchewan to you're currently in Florida, but give us a little bit of your road to where you're at right now.
Well, I obviously grew up in Saskatchewan. I found myself at the University of Florida when I graduated, and I was always sure that I wanted to turn pro. It was just I wasn't. I wasn't, like, putting pressure on myself in college to do it because I knew that I wanted to love it if I decided to turn pro. And I was lucky enough to play my last amateur event at my home course, Riverside, in Saskatoon, which was honestly the coolest thing up until, obviously, playing the Canadian Open at Wascana this year. So that was pretty fun. I've learned so much about myself and my game, and it's just been a really fun journey because every year is different, different status, different tournaments, new tournaments, old tournaments. And, it's cool. It's cool because certain years I've had more flexibility and other years I've, been living week by week. And I'm actually really excited for this year because it's going to be a lot different than the last 3 years that I've played. So this is my fourth year on tour or playing professionally. And I don't have status on the Symetra or LPGA.
Okay.
But I'm actually really excited about it because the last couple of years I've been on Symetra and it's really competitive. And, I actually have played, like, decent, but it's hard when you're not getting into events. So I've been playing well, but you're in the alternate list and you're not in the tournament. And Symetra Tour doesn't do Monday qualifiers or anything.
Right.
So I was always waiting every week to figure out whether I was going to get in the events or not. Then have to have a backup plan. And, I was like, people would ask me when I would come home, they're like, oh, like, where are you playing next? And I'm like, well, I'm either going to be in Texas or I'm going to be in California or New York or some places that are so far out of the way from each other. Like, how is that even possible?
Right.
But It'll be really cool this year because since I don't have status, I'll just be doing mini tours, and I get to plan my schedule.
Right.
Which is really cool because I haven't had the opportunity to do that and plan like a full schedule on my own. And to back up here, I would have had status had I played in Q school, but because I had the awesome opportunity to play in the Canadian Open at Wascana, it was actually the same week as first stage LPGA qualifying school.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
a...
I had to choose.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a tough choice, though, probably.
Full year status or playing the first Canadian Open ever in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's it may sound like a hard choice, but that ain't a hard choice.
Yeah, like, how long did you think about that? Like, less than a minute?
You know, well, I always knew I was going to play in the Canadian Open. There was no question about that, but I was more... It was kind of hard to swallow that I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have no status. And, not having status is like really scary to think. But now that I don't have status, I'm actually kind of relieved because the way that, I mean, like I said, the way it is when you don't have completely full status, you know, I was not going to be excited to play Q school when I knew that I could have played in
absolutely.
The biggest event in Saskatchewan. And that was, you know, there was never a question I wasn't going to play. In that, but it was more just being like, okay, if I'm not playing Symetra, what am I going to play? Is there even enough tournaments all year for us to play? Because on the women's side, you know, we don't have as much money and we don't have as many tournaments.
Right.
So I was honestly just more worried about the amount of tournaments I'd be able to play the whole year.
Right. And so when you talk about the mini tours, is there... You know, a few of them that you're looking to play. Have you already decided your schedule upcoming here, or when do you start? Where are you headed?
Yeah, so I've kind of made a general plan. I mean, I say I plan my schedule, and I've got mostly everything planned, but obviously everything could change week by week. I kind of make a plan based on the weeks I want to play. You know, if I want to play 3 or 4 weeks in a row, or 2 weeks, and you know, now that. I've had a couple years of experience of playing a full year, you know, in and out every week, and then knowing how tiring it is, I want to make sure that I'm ready and prepared for when Q school comes around this year.
Right.
Because that's a big thing. I mean, golf season's a long season, and, you know, I want to be mentally prepared when it's important this year for qualifying.
Right.
So I've kind of built my schedule around preparing for that, but also making sure I get enough rest before the big events in the fall.
That's fair.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, backing up, you jumped directly from Saskatchewan to, you know, being a Florida Gator. How does that happen? I guess how did you go from?
I wasn't quite sure how far back you wanted to go.
No, we want the whole story.
Okay. Well. I was lucky enough to attend high school down south for my last 2 years. The reason why I even, like, thought about that was we came down to Florida, and there was a golf academy here, and there was a Canadian golf academy was down here, and they had a golf camp, spring golf camp. So my parents put me in that because we were down here for vacation. And I was there for the week and got to practice with the players who were there all year round. And I don't really remember this because I feel like it was a long time ago, but my parents, when I asked them about it later, I was like, how did you guys even, like, let me leave? Like, I was like a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So young. And my mom said that I told them, I was like, you know, if I want to actually take this seriously and get a scholarship, then, you know, I can't be in Saskatchewan. Not necessarily, you know, because I can't get good enough. I mean, it obviously helps tremendously being on grass, but also there's not a lot of college coaches that look in Saskatchewan,
right?
Let alone Canada. So I mentioned that to my parents. I was like, it's so cool that they get to be down here, and I think they saw that I was taking it really seriously and saw that I really meant it. You know, I played a lot of sports. And kind of did everything when I was in high school. I danced competitively with, like, every type of dance. And I played volleyball for the school and for JCVC. And I think this was the one that they noticed that I, like, really... I really took to and took it to, like, you know, more serious than the other ones.
Yeah.
And I was super lucky, and they said, okay, you're going to go, and you're going to play golf all year and go to school. And so when I was down there, they have, like, some of the academies, they have, like, college placement people, you know, help you find scholarships and whatever. So I was in touch with one of them, and they actually helped me get to the University of Tulsa for my first year of college.
Right.
And I actually, and that's in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I actually really loved it. I had amazing teammates, but me and the coach had some interesting arguments. He was very old school.
It's one way to put it.
And I was very, like, you know, I like to ask questions, and sometimes people will take that the wrong way, and he didn't really like that I asked a lot of questions.
So next thing you know, you're a Florida Gator.
Yes, and then I get to Florida, and I loved it. Well, I mean, honestly, I really loved both schools. If I really felt that I needed to move, you know, I'm glad that I did, because I had an awesome rest of the college experience. But it's really nice because I had great teammates at both schools, and I'm still good friends with quite a few of them, and, you know, a lot of them play out on tour with me, so it's really awesome. I got to make a lot of connections, even just playing, you know, playing college golf with all the schools, but, like, having two sets of teammates was awesome.
Right. Was that, were you there during the Tebow days, or what's the timeline?
No, that was after. So I graduated high school in 2011.
Okay.
And then went to Tulsa for 2011, 2012, and then went to Florida, fall 2012, and graduated 2015.
Okay. So he was already a washed up NFL player by then.
Yeah, that's about the timeline.
So are you?
He's a Gator, though. I support him.
Are you currently living in Florida then?
Yeah, so I live in Orlando in the winter. My coach is here. It kind of feels like a second home because I have all my, you know, a lot of my team is here. I have an old mentor who I've known since I was 14, my golf coach that I currently work with, my physical trainer, and also my, like, physio chiropractic person.
Right.
Who does everything. So I, you know, I actually wasn't even sure if I wasn't sure if I wanted to live in Florida, but I was like, you know what, Florida's awesome, and, like, I just feel like home. You know, there was really no other choice in my head when I was done with college that I was going to move anywhere else to, like, continue golf.
Right. And mm-hmm. then it gives... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. But in the summer, I come back on my off weeks because I love coming home. I miss it.
Yeah, we'll get into... We got a question for you when we get into rapid fire that maybe you can link up those two, you know, coming home and something that have been a dream of Harv's. But we'll get to it. Living in Florida, obviously, living in Florida gives you access to going to PGA tournaments like Bay Hill. You had a chance to go to Bay Hill last week, didn't you not?
I did, yes. It was awesome.
Were you there for the final round?
No. I was actually preparing for a tournament that I had on Monday. So I went on Friday and Saturday. And then I actually went on Monday and Wednesday. So I like walking around and, like, seeing, you know, how other players practice and just, you know, taking it in as another golfer and player.
Right.
And it's nice because there's not, you know, a lot of people, but I'm, you know, getting out of it what I want. And it's not, like, outrageously busy. So I was actually playing and practicing on Sunday. And I had to record the highlights at the end so I could see all the good shots and everything. But I actually did see Molinari's last putt when I was checking in to play my nine holes at the, like, for my practice round.
Right.
I looked over the TV. I was like, oh my God, he just sunk that 40 footer. Like, however long it was on 18, that's so good.
Yeah.
And then I realized later, like, after I played nine holes in practice, and I come home and I'm like, oh my God, that was the winning putt.
Yeah, you won.
Well, at least he caught that. So you
said. Yeah, literally, like, the 2 seconds I looked at the TV at the pro shop.
The shot of the tournament, yeah. You said you kind of, you walk around the earlier days. Was there anything that you did take away, like, from someone that you saw that you could actually take away and put into your game that week?
Yeah, I mean, I like watching I love watching different people's swings, not necessarily for technique, but it's really interesting the differences between everybody's rhythms. So everyone has a different rhythm to their swing, but they're all so consistent. And just, you know, kind of like watching at some of the putting drills they're doing, and just, you know, not a lot of it is any different than what any of the stuff I do, but it's just kind of nice to, you know, see if there is any other, like, new fun putting drill that's out there, or, you know, whatever. And it's nice, too, because I actually practice out at Bay Hill, so it's really cool to see the players play on a course that I play on every day when I'm in Orlando.
Yeah, I think you, was it today that you had posted that it seems to have, it's seen a few better days than the condition it's currently in?
Yeah, well, I took that video last week when I played on Thursday after my tournament, but I posted it today because I was like, oh man, I was going to post that, but I forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's still in great shape. The greens are still in really great shape, and the fairways are as well, and just the rough is, like, so trampled.
Yeah, I bet.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it would
and, like, it's all brown where, like, all the stats were and everything, too, now that they're starting to take everything down.
Yeah, like, well, they say TPC Scottsdale, when they don't have the stands built, or most of them, it doesn't even look like the same hole that you're playing, because obviously it's not in a stadium. But
not at all. Yeah, like, the first year when I was a member at Bay Hill and they were putting up all the stands, when I got to 17, I was like, this is so much smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a par 3, obviously, but it's like, it just looks so much smaller with the stands. And, like, now I'm used to it because I'm used to seeing it. I mean, not that, like, it was just weird because there was just so much room before, and then when they put the stands up, it's like, wow, that green is actually, like, really small.
Yeah, you can't just bail out left.
No, I mean, luckily my miss right now is not left, so that's not usually what I do, but even, like, just, like, looking at it compared to, like, how much room there used to be and how wide it used to be, it just, like, it's just, there's so many stands on that hole. And it's not even a big hole. It just, like, looks, it just takes up so much space.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, if your miss isn't left, that means you've lost a few balls lately. Right now
I'm hitting it pretty well, so I'm going to say good. I don't have misses. But awesome. Generally, it's a high slice. But if I'm going to hit a high slice on that hole, I'm already hitting an extra club.
Yeah, fair enough. I mentioned in the opening, you are a fellow player golf ambassador rep. How'd you get hooked up with Chase and the boys at Player?
Well, I actually grew up playing some golf with Chase because he was in some of the tournaments that I was in. So I've known him for a while. And when they came out with their gear, I loved it. I'm not like a super girly girl, but I like love the flat bill hats. Mm-hmm. I have a super small head, so I actually have to, like, bend the hat because it looks really funny because there's, like, space between my head and, like, where the hat starts on both sides.
Yeah.
But it's, like, very much my style. So I kind of got in contact with him once he started it, and I was like, you know, if you want any help growing your brand, like, I mean, obviously I'm traveling all over the States. I love to wear your stuff. And he handed it over, and it's been great.
Yeah, they just launched their new line, and we've been promoting it like crazy because there's some awesome stuff in there. So
I know, right? I'm waiting to get back home so I can get some of it.
Yeah, and they just put out some Masters related stuff with, you know, the green and gold,
green and yellow,
it is awesome.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff online. I've already, like, looked at it. I'm like, looking, okay, like, if this isn't sold out, am I gonna get this? So you know what?
Where's my care package? Yeah. We do this thing on the on Drive the Green called the Ultimate Foursome. It's essentially, you know, your ultimate foursome. Three people from any walk of life, could be in the golf world, celebrity, you name it. If you had to pick three people to hit the links with, who would it be?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question. Well, I would probably choose. You know what? I would probably choose Rory as one of them.
Okay.
Because I feel like he's really grown as a player. And what I was watching his interview last week, a couple days ago, I guess, when he won, and I just really liked what he was saying about you know, really focusing on, you know, just focusing on him. And it made me laugh because when he, in the interview, he said to the interviewers, he was like, yeah, you know, like, I love you guys, but like, I try not to listen to you like as much as possible because it just, you know, I just really resonated with me because, you know, I actually watch the Golf Channel on mute only because, you know, when I get to that level, I don't want to be thinking,
what
oh,
are they
well,
saying? Yeah.
You know, you better not hit it right in the water because that would be a bad miss, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So it just was really comical to me, and I was like, yep, all right, I totally get it.
Yep. Plus, just watching Rory hit drivers is just the best. Yep. So that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a good player. I mean, aside from, you know, that one interview and, you know, how I feel like he's grown, like, as a player, like, he's just such a good, fiery player that I feel like I would be able to learn a lot from. I mean, there's so many players I would learn a lot from. You can learn something from everybody, but I feel like he would be in the foursome. I would definitely want to throw Brooke Henderson in there.
Yep.
I've known her for a little bit. I remember one of my last junior tournaments I played, and I didn't play any very well in it, but she won it, and I was like, wow, like, that girl's just bomb. And it was funny because, like, I grew up playing some junior events with Brittany, so then it was just hilarious when I was like, her younger sister is like so tiny, and she just beat everybody at this tournament, and she's like, what, 13?
Yeah, crazy.
And plus, like, they're just like such a good team. I really enjoy their company. They're really nice, so that would be fun.
Okay.
And my last one, probably Annika Sorenstam.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Three golfers.
Yeah, three golfers, yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like, you know, celebrities are celebrities, but I like that. I feel like if we had four golfers in the round, we would have, like, a super good match.
Yeah, well, that's, and that's...
I can't, I don't play as well unless I'm competing, so if I was going to have a dream foursome, I want to play well, and I know I'm going to play well if there's some type of competition in there.
Yep, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Like a money game? Like,
yeah,
who are
some
you?
Some type of money game.
Oh, okay, who are you taking as your partner?
Team, something like that.
Yeah, who's your partner in that?
Brooke.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she almost hits it as far as Rory anyways, so I feel like I'm picking pretty good.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, it's time to get into rapid fire here.
All right.
First one on your list, favorite SAS course?
Riverside.
What about your top five? Because we kind of figured you'd say Riverside.
I really enjoyed Wascana this year. They did an awesome job of putting it in amazing condition. Where else? I really like Dakota Dunes as well. And then, where else did I play it at home? It's tough because I feel like I haven't played as much golf at home as I have, or as I did when I was a junior. But I honestly love going out to Moon Lake because they have a bunch of different holes, and their courses are a little bit trickier, and especially when the wind gets up.
Right,
yeah, absolutely.
I love courses that really test that, and because it's flatter, and I mean, obviously it's flat Saskatchewan, but the wind can really do something to you on that course. And then, was that four?
That's four, yep.
That's four. Last one.
Got any hidden
gems? Pardon?
Do you have any hidden gems?
Any hidden gems? You know, there was this one course, I can't remember where it was, actually. It was in... Oh, you know what? I really like Nipawin's course.
Yeah. We had David Dubay on the show, and he said Nipawin was his favorite.
Yeah, that's definitely in my top five for sure. I haven't played it in, like, probably 7 years, maybe even longer. Probably longer, actually. But I remember that course being awesome. I love like, tree-lined courses.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a very Canadian type course, and Florida golf is very different down here because there's water and there's bunkers, and you know, sometimes they're strategically placed and sometimes they're not, but like if there's trees lining the fairway, you know, they're not strategically placed, they're just there, and if you hit them there, you know, you're gonna lose a ball.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
here, exactly. You can hit it anywhere and you might be on like two fairways over, but you'll still be able to hit it and find it.
Yeah, our home course here in Moose Jaw is the Hillcrest, and you can pretty much hit it on one of three fairways and still have a shot at the hole you're actually playing.
Yeah. I've actually never been out there, though, but didn't they host the either Canadian Amateur or Canadian Junior, like, a long, long time ago?
Yeah, I think so, Junior, yeah.
I think they did, right? Yeah. I remember seeing that when I was waiting. I was like, man, like, how come they never come to Saskatchewan? And I was looking at all the years where they were, and I was like, they came to Moose Jaw. I was like, they gotta come back here sometime. Like, it's been too long.
Yeah, sometime, hopefully.
Sometime.
What's in your bag this season?
I have a ping putter. I have Cleveland wedges. I have Callaway irons. I have exotic hybrids and a 4-wood. And then the Rogue driver from Callaway last year.
Okay. Are you going to give the Epic Flash a chance?
You know, I might try it. I actually have a meeting with my club guy next week. So I might be, or not, I guess this week now. I'm actually more interested in testing the Callaway irons and maybe looking into a 3-wood.
Okay.
But I really like my driver right now. I actually might look at the Cobra driver, though. So nice. One of my friends, she's playing a tournament, and she's had her Cobra driver for literally, like, 7 years, and she hasn't found one that's better, and the face cracked on her during a tournament, so she couldn't use it anymore, and she was trying to find somewhere to get, the Cobra driver that she had or something similar, and we went to Orange County National. They had a Cobra set up there from one of the guys for the day. So she was testing out drivers, and I'd already practiced, but I went out to go see, and I hit a couple of that driver, and it's actually really, really great. I've never hit Cobra drivers, but I would definitely look into that one if I'm going to look into drivers at all.
Awesome. That's, like, what is it, F9?
F9, no. Yeah. Even F8's really good.
Yeah. So
I think so. I can't remember the name. Yeah. I took a picture of it.
Yeah. No, that's good. I just picked up some Cobra forged irons, so I can't wait to get out and test them.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't tested their irons, but if they're as good as the driver, they're going to be good.
Well, it's all about who's swinging them, so.
Exactly. One question.
Yeah, that probably helps.
Yeah.
There's been quite a social media, I don't want to say war, but a little bit of a back and forth with some of the popular female social media people regarding ladies tees versus forward tees, and where do you fall on that stance?
I definitely think that, well, are you talking more about, like, the argument on, you know, how women are not paid as much based on, you know, not being able to hit it as far? There's a couple different arguments out there that I've, like, seen in the last, like, you know, couple days.
I'll put the ball in your court. how do you want to answer that one?
Well, so the main argument that I've seen the last couple days is about money, just because, you know, we're not paid as much, and I understand it's, you know, it's more demand. But the thing is, if people turned on the LPGA and they saw all of the excitement that's out on our tours, we would probably have a lot more spectators. And, you know, I know there's a lot more to, you know, making money on an athletic, especially with golf, just because it's so sponsored and it's not on TV. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about thinking about it. And I just think that not a lot of people would choose to turn on an LPGA event over a PGA event. And that's what needs to change to get the interest going in our side of the sport. Mm-hmm. Because we still are very good.
Absolutely.
We're just different. We don't hit it as far. And the people who argue and say, well, you have, you know, there's nothing stopping you from going to into an, you know, a PGA Monday qualifier, I'm like, well, there is genetics, but, you know, that's fine. We don't have to talk about that. But, you know, there's a big difference, and some people don't believe there is a difference, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm not even going to argue with you, because if you don't think there's a difference, then we're not going to get anywhere in this conversation. But I think if more people gave the LPGA a chance and really looked at all the excitement that comes from women's golf, you know, if they paid attention more to women's golf as opposed to just PGA, there is, you know, a lot of excitement and a lot of awesome shots and, you know, eagles and birdies and playoffs. And, you know, no one really sees that because it's never televised.
Yep.
And I was even talking to one of my friends this summer about it. He's like, yeah, but, you know, no one watches LPGA. And I'm like, how are they supposed to watch all of our tours that aren't on TV? You know, the guys have, you know, their senior tour, they have PGA, they have web.com, they have European. That's four tours that are on TV. And the only one that's on TV for women is LPGA. And web.com sometimes even gets, you know, coverage over LPGA every once in a while, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
Yeah.
On the good side, though, is that other sports are slowly coming around to more female stuff being broadcasted, like whether it's tennis, curling, women's hockey just took a big step forward with pay. So you got to think it's going to happen at some point. So that's probably a good thing.
Yes, we're definitely going in the right direction. I guess when you asked me that question today, I was reading a couple tweets from one of my former players out on Symetra. She doesn't play anymore, but she literally tweeted, she's like, you know, it's 2019, how is it possible that, you know, people are making cuts and not even making their entry fee back? So when you asked me that question today at this very moment, that is what came to mind.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Perfect.
But we're definitely going in the right direction.
Yes, and I think you were also asking, too, the name of the actual tees, correct?
Yeah, like how there's been debate on calling them ladies' tees versus forward tees.
Yes, okay. That's a totally different question. Sorry, I totally went the other way.
No, we like that answer.
I definitely think they should be called the forward tees, not the ladies' tees, because there are many men who should be playing from them. Men, they should not play from the forward tees when they should play from the forward tees. Yep. And then I know so many women who play from the forward tees because they think they should, even when they're good enough to play from, you know, one tee back.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny that we talk about that because I read also on social media today that a lot of people should be playing forward tees just to learn how to actually make a birdie and get into position, because until you actually learn that, what's the point of playing the back tees and, you know, double bogey all the time when you should actually learn how to maybe make a birdie or two? But
I totally agree with that. I actually play from the forward tees every once in a while to see how low I can go.
Yeah.
And that's a great drill to do, you know, for 9 holes or even 18, whatever you want to do. You know, I have obviously more time since I play golf as my job, which is awesome. So, you know, I could do that for 18 holes and it wouldn't be, you know, outrageous or like feel like a waste of a day. But for someone who plays on the weekends, they probably wouldn't want to do that for a full 18. But what they could do is play 1-9 from the forward tees and then 1-9 from the very back and see how different it is. Because the forward tees, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to score.
Exactly.
And that's what everybody assumes, you know, the closer you are to the hole, the better your score is. But it's very different when you're playing the forward tees and you have wedges in every hole, or you have more difficult tee shots because you're having to avoid, you know, you're having to drag around a bunker or water that you weren't able to reach to begin with. But then when you play from the back tees, you're getting a lot more practice with your longer clubs into greens and even, you know, some short game, because there might be even greens you can't reach.
Yep, completely agree.
So I actually think it's good practice to play from all of the tees than just your normal ones if you're, you know, practicing.
Especially if you're a member, you're just playing the same thing over and over again. It's nice to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're playing the same course over, I mean, if you're ever getting bored of your course, just play from, like, a completely different tee, and it's a totally different course. Looks the same, but does not play the same.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Have you ever hustled someone in a game of golf?
No, because I'm not going to play them unless I think I can win. But I'm definitely not going to take advantage of somebody. I could never do that. Because I'm usually on the other end where I'm like, you know, giving them like way too many strokes and then I lose because I'm like, oh man, like that. I mean, not that I didn't think I could do it, but I was just like, you know, I don't want to take advantage of somebody. So I actually give them like, I don't give them enough credit because I'm like, well, I am a pro. Like I play every day. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to like, you know, if they deserve 5 strokes, I want to give them 5 strokes, but, you know, what if they need 7? And so then I give them, like, a certain amount of strokes, and I'm like, okay, they did not deserve that many strokes, but whatever. Good challenge for me.
Yeah.
Okay, too nice. Got it.
Yeah, too nice.
Yeah.
How many career aces do you have?
I don't have any in tournaments.
That's okay.
But I have had, I'm going to say 2.5, because my first one was on a par 3 that I teed up from the front tees, and it was 66 yards. And it was more of like a drill that I was doing, but it went in, but I got to put a 1 on the scorecard. So it didn't really feel like a hole-in-1, but it was.
Where was that, Silverwood?
No, actually, that was, well, I mean, it could have been. It was on a course like Silverwood, actually. It was a par 3 course. It was actually at a par 3 course in Tulsa.
Okay. Silverwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's really similar to Silverwood, actually. It could have been.
There's a hidden gem yeah, if I ever heard of
one. Home course.
Yeah. You know, I actually don't think I've ever played Silverwood.
Oh, whoa. Sounds like an opportunity.
I think I'm going to have to do that this summer now.
Yep. Sounds like an opportunity.
It's one of, like, it's always in great shape.
Well, I'm gonna tie that question in. So I mentioned it earlier. Harv has you mentioned you come home in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be an event, but Harv's looking to caddy for someone. So maybe he can give you a little insider info on Silverwood when you go play it this week. He could be on your bag and this summer.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. I can let you know.
Oh, that sounds good. Or Riverside. I was a member there for 5 years too.
It'll be a whole experience.
Yeah, or yeah, he did say Riverside too. That works.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We can go wherever you want. I will play.
Awesome.
We can go.
Yeah, I was a member of Riverside too, not just Silverwood.
I won't go to Moose Jaw though, unless I'm going to visit my cousins, because there's only so much time I have at home.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
What's the weirdest moment you've ever had on the course, whether it's in tournament play or with friends? Just the weirdest thing you've ever seen happen on a course.
Weirdest thing I've ever seen happen. You know, it's probably, honestly, there's probably so many, but you put me on the spot here. Now I'm like, let's see, it's probably with a caddy. There's like a lot of volunteer caddies are out on Symmetra Tour and on LPGA and the mini tours. But sometimes when people sign up to be volunteer caddies, they don't really know what they're doing, and they don't really know enough about golf. They want to help, but then the tournament will be like, okay, we need more caddies. So they don't really understand what that means.
Yeah.
So I was actually playing a practice round with one of my friends on tour, and her volunteer caddy was like, what did he do? He really did not know anything about golf, and he was like really old. And, you know, he was going to struggle carrying the bag around. So he got to the green and, you know, he's talking and, you know, just asking ridiculous questions. And it's, you know, so innocent. You know, he just has no idea about anything. And I just feel so bad. And she was like, she had to fire him because she's like, you know, I am so appreciative of your help. But, like, it was so clear that if he was on the bag, it was going to derail her game for the tournament, because she would be like, okay, you know, here's how you rake a bunker, okay,
it's just a distraction,
like with rules, and like there's so many rules that, you know, a volunteer caddy can breach if they don't know what they're doing. And that's so common, especially for caddies who are new and, you know, don't know things. And I've even had caddies who do know competitive golf, but they don't know competitive golf with caddy rules,
right?
Just like what Happy Gilmore offering the 5-iron for, like, the chip.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Just like a scene out of Happy Gilmore when he offers the 5-iron for a chip to shoot him
exactly.
A Gavin.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
that's probably one of the funniest things. There's some other ones. I'll have to think about it. When you come caddy for me, I'll have some stories.
Don't, we'll add to him.
We'll add to him. Yeah, you'll show up with one shoe on.
Yeah, oh my God, please do that.
Okay, last two. Are you a Coke or a Pepsi person?
Pepsi.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. All right.
It's like 100 to 2 now.
No, that's like 4. All right, last one. We're in the social media day and age. Who is your favorite follow?
My favorite follow, the person that I follow that
yes.
I really love?
Yes.
I would probably have to say I'm very drawn to Juliet Huff's page.
Okay.
She's a professional dancer, and she's been on, she's been in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually
married to Brooks Lake.
She was one of the stars on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, she's
a star and also a judge.
Yeah, and she's
married to Saskatchewan's own Brooks Lake.
Yeah, Brooks Lake from Regina. She's married to him.
Yes.
Wawoda.
Yes. Wawoda?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your go-to follow.
That's my go-to follow. She's just, like, so, like, bubbly and very positive and very real. Like, you know, with my social media page, I always try and, you know, I'm not going to ever post something if I'm not actually doing something like that day. Like, you know, today I posted a video from yesterday or from last week when I was playing, but, you know, I was at the golf course today and I was playing. So I would never, like, post things that I wasn't actually doing or it wasn't realistic of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that she's very... Like, she's always really good about having a bunch of stories, and it's, I haven't really, like, talked into, like, my stories to my followers before. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would be really funny to do that, but she's really good at it, and it's interesting, you know, hearing about her life, because it's just so interesting, and I'm sure that, you know, that's probably how people feel about professional athletes as well.
Oh,
maybe
absolutely.
Maybe I'm safe to say Jennifer, but I can do that every once in a while, but she's just, like, so positive and so realistic that's something I really admire.
Wasn't she in the new Footloose?
Was she in New Footloose?
Yeah, she was in the Footloose one, yeah.
Wow. Did you, you're a closet fan?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Actually, when I cut my, I used to have really long hair, and when I cut my hair, her, like, hairstyle was like, you know what, that's, like, kind of what I want. And then when I started paying more attention to her, I was like, oh, man, like, she's awesome. Like, after I got, like, a similar haircut.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
That's good. All right, well, that's all we got for you. So we appreciate your time. It was great catching up with you. You know, obviously meeting you. Hopefully, we can meet face to face this summer when you come back.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it was tons of fun. Keep repping the player brand as we will, and good luck this season.
And don't put bricks in your golf bag like some of the other people have told me they're going to do when I caddy.
Okay, well, I'm not going to lie. Now that you said it, I might have to. But, you know, instead of bricks, I'll do, like, just a ton of golf balls.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Anna.
All right. Thank you very much.
Big thanks to Anna Young for joining the boys. It was tons of fun. First takeaway from the Anna interview is, man, is she a nice girl.
Almost too nice.
Too nice.
Like,
too nice. Doesn't want to take money from people because she's good. Just... didn't want to put bricks in your bag. Just said she'll throw a few extra balls in there. Said you can caddy for her.
Yeah. It's, things
even if it's even just around Saskatchewan.
Yeah,
just
whatever.
Follow her around and just got to get Riverside. Used to
it. I haven't carried a bag in a long time. Got to see if I can still do it.
Yeah. Crazy, you know, crazy journey from Saskatchewan to Oklahoma to Florida to pro. Hopefully to the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, I liked, she made a good point about not playing those mini tours or not having status on anywhere where she's kind of, her schedule's up in the air because she's not fully qualified for things. Now she can kind of pick when she knows she's going in, plan a schedule. That's got to be easier to prepare for.
You would think so. And just knowing, okay, I'm going home this week or I'm not on an alternate list.
Yeah.
We talked about it with Hard K and those guys, you know, it's so hard to... think about being on an alternate list and then not sure if you're getting in and then having to leave and wait for a week to the next one. So much easier to know, okay, I'm playing this tournament 100%.
I would never want to be on the alternate list.
It'd be so
hard. I just want to be Monday qualifier guy all the time.
Yeah. Like that way you're so hard and they're shooting like 11 under.
Well, exactly. Monday
qualifiers.
Yeah, like you have less chance of getting in because there's more people to compete against, but at least you know I'm going with this. I play well, I'm playing.
Yep.
I don't play well, well, on to the next one.
Yep.
Not just sitting around and waiting till Wednesday to see and like preparing as if you're playing and then just not getting it.
Yeah, that would be the worst. That is a heartbreaker. A full golfer ultimate foursome with Annika, Brooke, and Rory.
I mean, makes sense. Foursome.
Yeah. Three of the best.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, she's a Pepsi girl.
We won't hold that against her.
Fantastic. All right. We got to get into WGC Dell Technologies match play this week. In honor of the match play, we talk about it a lot. We like the trophy. We like the trophies. Speaking of which, we forgot trophy talking in the news.
We did. I mean, I'll cover it here.
It's what is it, like a paintbrush? Pretty cool.
It's a paintbrush, like a bronze, like a paintbrush doing like a swoosh with like a golf ball, and like it's a good trophy.
So in honor of the match play March Madness, Harvest put together a 32 trophy bracket. He's got regions. Each of them have their own separate quirk about them. So without further ado, just to give everyone an idea of what we're doing with this, Harv's going to break down the entire bracket right now, as quickly as he can, hopefully.
Yep.
Then next week on the show, we are going to pick all of our winners up to the final four. And then the final four is going to go onto Instagram with the pictures of the trophies. And we're going to let all of the friends of the pod out there pick the winner of the Drive the Green trophy bracket.
Yep.
All right. Let's see what you have in store for us.
Okay. Well, this has kind of been a brainchild since we started talking about trophies.
Yep.
There was 42 tournaments on the schedule this week, so I had to cut 10. There was a couple or three that are brand new tournaments this year, so those were easy cuts. We don't know what the trophies are yet, so cut them out. Took out the majors, just because that would just end up being the final four, right?
Yep.
So broke it down. First region I have listed here is all of the WGCs and the other like notable or big name tournaments.
Okay.
So the one seed in this bracket is the CJ Cup. That is the crossword puzzle written in Korean or Japanese or Chinese, whichever one it is.
Whichever one
of those. And it has the winner's name in gold and the rest of the names that are...
All the names of the people in the tournament are on it, and they just make the winner's gold.
Correct.
That one's
That's sweet. Going yeah. up against one the eighth seed, which is the Arnold Palmer Trophy. It's no longer the sword. It is now a tin golfer on top of a tin podium type mountain type thing.
Right.
In the 4-5 matchup, we have the WGC Mexico, which is the Matt Black Cup.
Yep.
Versus the WGC St. Jude, which is the Matt Yellow Cup.
Okay.
Porcelain.
Blue versus yellow. Yep.
Porcelain cups.
Okay.
The 3-6 would be three being the Valspar, which we just touched on, is the bronze paint swipe with the golf ball and the paintbrush, versus the WGC HSBC, which is the matte black cup.
All the mats.
And then the 7 seed is the WGC match play, which is the baby blue one, versus the player, which is kind of like a gold, almost like an Oscars type trophy, but it's a golfer.
Yeah.
Lots of people probably think that doesn't deserve to be the two, but you know what? I like it, and that got seeded.
And it's the players.
And it's the players.
Again, it has a little bit of the aura, like you say, with taking the majors out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That is the WGC and notable tourney bracket, and now in the bottom half of that side is the crystals, the crystal group.
Grandma's mint holders.
I cut a few tournaments out of this one, because there's a few more crystal trophies. But
is the explanation of all these going to be... Same thing. Ditto.
Some of them are like that. Dittos. So the Tour Championship is the number one seed, and it is a golfer, but a crystal golfer.
Crystal golfer. Okay.
The 8th seed is the Byron Nelson. It looks like, I don't know, almost like in the science class, those like graduated cylinders.
Oh,
like
nice.
A big paint pint glass, crystal. In the 4-5 seed, we have Honda Classic at 4, which is a large candy dish with a lid, versus the Puerto Rico Open, which is a large candy dish without a lid. So those will be tight.
That's going to be a tight one.
Yep. 3-6, we have the number 3 seed, AT&T Pro-Am. It kind of looks like two wine glasses, like, stacked on top of each other, like, open, the open ends that you drink out of, stacked on top of each other, and, like, welded together. Or like glued together.
So like hourglass?
Kind of, but like the middle is the top, and then like a reverse hourglass.
Oh, gotcha. Yep.
Like ball in the middle. Yep. No, it's whatever. Versus the Shriners Hospital for Children, which is basically looks like the Ryder Cup, but crystal.
Not a one seed, though.
No, not a one seed. The number 2 seed is the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which is a crystal trophy. Surprise, surprise. But it is kind of that Arizona Kachina First Nation Aboriginal type style, totem pole type style bird.
Yep.
But it's crystal. And the seventh seed is the Desert Open, which is just a crystal square vase. That's all it is. Like, you would see this on anyone's grandparents' table with some flowers.
I think I might see any of those on a grandparents'.
Yeah, you could see them. Some got hard candy in them. Some got other stuff.
Yeah.
On to the other side. Top right portion of the bracket is the unique trophy portion.
The region,
unique trophy region. The number one seed is the RBC Heritage Tournament. It is just like this old-timey golfer, like something out of Legend of Bagger Vance and that kind of clothing.
Yep.
That's the trophy. I don't know if it's iron or if it's made out of wood or something, but it's pretty cool. The eighth seed there is the Valero Texas Open, which is the cowboy boots.
Great
and
one.
And it also comes...
That's an eight seed,
That's an eight seed.
Oh, boy.
It also comes with a like a little wooden plaque with a glass shape of Texas on it.
Does it also come with Andrew Landry's spit?
I'm not sure if the spit's... All over himself? Yeah, he spit all over himself there. Yeah. The four seed is the Farmer Insurance Open, which is at Torrey Pines. That is the one with the trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the tree trophy.
Very nice.
Going up against the fifth seed, the Century Tournament of Champions, which is like a blown glass into a wave.
Oh, the whale tail.
The whale tail. So that one's in the fifth seed. The third seed is the Sanderson Trophy. I'll let you describe that one.
Cock Trophy.
Yes, correct. Going up against the sixth seed, the Mayakoba Classic, kind of that rock chameleon sculpture.
Oh, yeah. Matt Kuchar, Stiftus Caddy.
Correct. That happened there. The number two seed, we gave this one a hard time when it came out, but it's the Safeway Open, the barrel. And in the pictures, like, that's not a, like, it's a big barrel.
Yeah, big one.
That's a good.
Kevin Tway, where is it?
That's a, yeah, we got to know. And the seventh seed is the John Deere Classic, which is a deer on like a, I don't know, it's probably like a foot and a half big, and it's like a golf hole, like a deer like jumping.
Cool.
So that is the unique trophy region. And the final region is the metal cups / jugs.
Oh, nice.
Region.
Okay.
So
claret jug not in because majors are out.
Exactly. Number one seed is the Northern Trust. I don't know. It's some sort of weird contraption. You guys can look it up for yourselves. I don't even know how to describe it. It almost looks like something that like a globe would sit in, but the globe's only like the size of a baseball. And it's like...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like that tin kind of globe holder.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not that.
I'm not sure if it moves, but it's still a pretty...
Okay.
It could have made it into the unique trophies, but I just ran out of room. And it kind of falls
in
the metal.
And you wanted to get it in.
And it falls into the metal category, so I put it in there. Going up against the 8th seed, which is the RSM Classic. And, I mean, that just looks like the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship trophies had a baby. Like, they're just, it's just like the two
just
of them mashed together of a
big tin jug. Two-handed jug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The 4th seed is the CMIB Classic, which is, I don't know, it's like these squiggly bent metal.
Oh, yeah.
Rods or square rods or whatever you call it.
With braided, like a, braided rod.
Yes, with like a little arrow on top of it. I don't know if that's the CMIB logo or whatever it is, but not bad. Going up against the RBC Canadian Open.
Yes.
Which just looks like a bigger version of the Ryder Cup.
A couple of Ryder Cup knockoffs in this bracket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the 3 seed is the Genesis Open, which is kind of, I made fun of it, that like rolled up paper.
Oh, yeah.
Metal, though.
Yep.
Like rolled in a circle or to make a funnel.
Yep.
Against the Memorial, which is Jack's tournament. It's kind of like a glass metal plaque with like the claret, looks like the claret jug on it. I don't know. It's.
Oh, yep. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
It's, it is what
it
is.
I'm going to have to get a picture of that one.
And then the 2 seed.
The last couple.
Is the Sony Open. It's kind of that metal, it almost looks like a flame, like out of a lighter or something.
Okay.
Like that metal flame trophy against the Charles Schwab Challenge. And I wrote down here, this is a big old bastard of a trophy. It's got everything. A wooden base, three pillars, a cup on top of it with a lid. or a jug on top with a lid and a bird on top of that. Like, it's a big trophy. Like, it's got to be 4 feet tall.
And that, worthy of a two seed.
No, that's a seven seed.
Oh, that's a seven. Yeah, the Sony Open. Upset alert.
Yeah, it could upset be an upset alert there. So that's the bracket laid out.
Okay. And like you said, for the listeners out there, the team is going to put together what they all look like and try to get something like that put up.
Yeah.
But again, everyone will get a chance to vote on the final four. I mean, a lot of work went into this, Harv.
Yeah, it took good a job. Little while, but they're ranked, they're in regions. We'll decide next week who goes where, and then let the friends of the pod decide on the winner.
You look like a proud papa.
It came together a lot better than I thought it was going to.
It really brought the room together.
I knew there'd be a crystal region. I just didn't know how the rest would work out, but I think it worked out that they all make sense in their region. And
I'm excited to see which one of the colors prevails in the WGC bracket region.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I look forward to sitting down and going through to get us all the way to the Final Four so that the friends can vote. But Bronel's not here, so it's the pig segment. How did Bronel do last week?
Do you really want to go there? Because he actually beat you.
Ah, shit.
But pick recap of the Valspar.
Right. Sergio's quintuple killed me.
Yeah. I won again. That's 12 wins for me, 9 for Matty B, and that's a 3. 3 for Bronel.
Yeah.
I had DJ, who finished 6th, Roy Sabatini finished 18th, and I had a miscut in Ryan Morritt for 71 for an average of 32. Bronel, in a rare second place, had Joel Damon for 30th, Henrik Stenson for 24th, and a miscut with Brian Harmon for 71 for a 42 average. And Matty B, Sergio really tanked you there on that last day. You had Nick Taylor for a 24, Sergio for a 54, and Webb Simpson missed the cut for 71 for an average of 50. So 12-9-3.
So you've won 50%. I've won 37.5%, and Bronell's won 12.5%.
Yeah, I would have thought he'd won less than that, but
I mean, it's not very good. 12.5% between three people?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, you would think it'd be 33%, but if anyone was worth their whatever, but
let me check the math. Yep, 33%.
Yep.
So, full disclosure, Bronel sent his picks in for this week, but in a turn of events, to put this theory to the test, I have allowed my 6-year-old daughter to pick in Bronel's place this week.
Yeah, at least that way we don't have to play the Benny Hill music.
Yeah, so unfortunately for Bronel, we are not going to announce his picks on this show. He can tell us, or the fans out there, who his picks were when he gets back next week. He will listen to this. He will be upset. But we do not care.
Yeah, don't skip the pod.
Don't skip the pod, and your picks will get, they'll get said to Benny Hill music until you win another tournament. But but before we get into that, Harv, if you want to go first.
Sure.
You can go first with your picks, and then I'll get into my daughter's picks, and then I'll do my picks.
Okay. I am going to start with, a couple of my mainstays here. First off, I'll go with Rory McIlroy. I mean, why not? All the guy does is finish well. His game sets up well for match play, I would think. Although I said that last year at Dustin Johnson, and he finished dead last.
Yes. We can also discuss, as you're making picks, we'll discuss some of the groups, and I think you and I are both along the same. We're trying to pick on the weaker groups because there are some groups of death this week.
And I would say Rory has the weakest group.
Rory, Fitzy, Justin Harding, and Luke List.
Yeah.
Should be able to steamroll these guys.
You would think so.
Okay, Rory.
Second pick, Justin Thomas.
Justin is with Keegan Bradley, Matt Wallace, and Lucas Bjerregaard.
Yeah.
Keegan Bradley, he of a 1-7-2 career.
And the other two have never played.
Never played.
You can see the trend of going, picking off the easy groups. Mm-hmm. And third pick is Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay. So let me get to Tommy's group here. Tommy's with Louis Oosthuizen, Kyle Stanley, and Ben Ann.
So you should think he should get out of that one, given how he played and the Ryder Cup last year factored into me picking him.
Okay. So my daughter's picks, She is going with Funny. I asked her who she wanted. I think I've taught her well because she first pick was Tiger Woods.
Okay.
So Tiger, pretty straightforward. He's with Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, and Aaron Wise this week. Then she went with Tony Finau.
Oh.
Tony's in a group with Ian Poulter, Kevin Kisner, and Keith Mitchell. I would consider this probably one of the groups of death. Poulter is a known great match player. Kevin Kisner lost the championship last week. Tony Finau is also pretty good. He lost to Alex Noren last year, who was, I think he finished fourth.
Yeah, he lost to
JT in the 3-4? Maybe. But and then Keith Mitchell, who's also doing quite well. And her last pick is the defending champion, Bubba Watson.
Okay.
So Bubba, Finau, and Tiger for the six-year-old. Probably going to do slightly better than Bruno's picks, but we'll wait and see who he picks next week next when week, he actually gets back. As for myself, I'm going to take DJ. DJ's group is DJ, Matsuyama, Brennan Grace, and Chez Reavie. I think he's got a pretty good shot to get out of there. He won the match play in 2017. My second pick is John Rahm, who actually DJ beat that year in 2017. John Rahm is with Matt Kuchar. Going to be tough, though. Kuchar has a 24-9-3 career record in this event.
Yeah.
JB Holmes and Siwoo Kim. So I kind of like Rahm there. And then with my last pick, I'm taking Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith, according to PGA.com, is a guru as a junior in Australian match play. So a little bit of a hint. He's in a group with Paul Casey, who has a good record at this, but he's coming off a win. Maybe he'll get a little adrenaline dump.
Yep.
Charles Howell, also taking a risk here.
Yep.
Chucky Three Sticks and Abe Anser. Like, that's a group of death, and I'm taking Cam Smith. Probably should have avoided it, but what are you going to do? I'm going for it all. So yeah, DJ, Cam Smith, Rahm, Tiger, Finau, and Bubba for the six-year-old.
Yep.
And Rory, JT, and Fleetwood.
You betcha.
For you. Can't wait to hear who Bronell's picks actually were. Well, I actually know who they are, but
I mean,
because he sent them to me, I deleted them.
I mean, they're probably just random garbage.
Yeah.
Like, what's? I mean, the listeners can probably look at this and figure out who are the three most random guys we can think of here. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, we'll see. Good luck. Good luck. He's not here to defend himself, so.
But we also got to pick one for the
So we picked three, and it's the Corrales this week. Fun fact, we've talked about it last year. I picked the winner, Bryce Garnett, in DraftKings last year. Won, like, $17. The rest of the team stunk. But this week, Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. This is a great chance for a lot of the lesser-known guys on tour to get, you know, their first PGA Tour victory, get, you know, some points for the FedEx Cup.
Not many points.
Not a ton of points.
And if you win this one, it doesn't give you the two-year exemption.
Right. But with that being said, Bronell, we will give him the benefit of this pick only because he picked number one in the power rankings, Jonathan Vegas. So he was T3 at the Players. Bronell's just hoping. It's just that hope at this point.
Nothing will cool a guy off quicker than Bronell picking him. Yes. So we'll see how that does.
Hoping to avoid the Bronell curse, I am taking Sungjae Im because, unlike you just mentioned earlier in the pod, he was T4. I took him, he got cut. Then he was T3 this week or P4 this week.
Yep.
So I'm hoping it's not another cut, but he turns 21 on Saturday, birthday weekend. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. And who are you taking?
I am going to take my guy for these tournaments. I took him last time we had one of these double tournaments, the last WGC, and he won the week for me, or he won that tournament for me. So I'm back on that horse, the Italian mafia man, Dominic Bazzelli.
Yeah, he won here when he was at the Web in 2016.
Yes, I that factored into my research.
Oh, okay. You did know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Bronell can split a week, pick up. It would be pretty clever if he finally got another week and it was one of the single picks, and it was number one in the power rankings to get his fourth.
One of his three wins is a single pick. Kevin Tway or whatever. Not Kevin Tway, Bill Haas.
Bill Haas,
at the Sanderson Farms.
Yeah, Cock Trophy. So yeah, that's everything for us this week. Hope everyone enjoys the WGC, March Madness next week. The Corrales, lots of golf to watch. WGC during the day, Corrales probably get bumped to the evening.
Yeah.
But also they'll be running probably hand in hand like they did last year on Network and Golf Channel. Big thanks to Anna Young, fellow Saskatchewan native. Good luck to her this year, fellow player rep. Promo code DriveTheGreen for 30% off your order. And until next week, it's time to hit the clubhouse.
That's a song.